Hi there, and thanks for listening to the Adulting is Easy podcast, where we make adulting easier by making money easier. This is your host, Lauren, and I'm joined today by Joshua, who likes long walks on the beach. Thanks for joining me, Josh.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Lauren.
Our goal for today is to make adulting easier by discussing a personal finance topic, since managing money is a huge part of adulting. So today we're going to talk about real estate, and I want to know how you got into real estate investing.
I got into real estate investing by watching my partner do great thing, right? It wasn't really for me initially. You know, I think that partnerships and relationships are huge and having success in anything. And a lot of times who you decide to spend your life with can, you know, inhibit your growth or enhance your growth. And I didn't fall in either camp initially. Because I was focused on my own passion, pursuing my professional goals as a professional referee, working for the NBA. And that was the end all be all for my life. It wasn't until, you know, COVID happened and the season was canceled and I was like, oh, crap, what am I going to do? And so then I really leaned into assisting with our business and running the Airbnbs that we have and just lightening the load for my partner, Antoinette. And here we are today where, you know, we've got a portfolio of six multifamily properties. We do group homes, 24-hour nursing in one of them. We have some new construction that's going on. We're doing three new lots in Titusville. We have some projects in Miami. She was juggling all this on her own primarily. And then I was like, okay, how can I step in and be more of an assistant and support the growth goals that we had? And that was in, she started in 2016. And I was a little nice cheerleader, you know, helping with doing some of the manual labor, like knocking down walls and pulling up wooden floorboards and everything. But I really didn't lean into like, trying to have a real role in the business until, like I said, COVID happened.
So what did Antoinette think about your change and when you jumped into the business?
Everything takes time. You know, she was focused on developing her own passion, her own skill set. You know, early on in her life, back in college, she worked as a project manager for a developer in Tallahassee. And at this point in her life, you know, us being together, she saw me pursuing my life's passion and goals and dreams. And, you know, she was working a sales job at, you know, a pretty big company, right? Reputable brand and all. But the bells and whistles just weren't as shiny as they seem, right? And, you know, those golden handcuffs, they're still handcuffs. and that didn't fulfill her. You know, there's a significant age difference between us, and she wanted to support me and my ambition to, you know, go after my dreams. And she saw that real estate investing was a big way to do that. And again, given the experience that she had as a project manager, it only made sense for her to go down that path and explore real estate investing full time.
That's pretty cool. I like it. So do you guys have the same why? Or do you guys have kind of two different things that are driving you?
That's a really great question. I hate that question to start off with because one, it's so burdensome just because, you know, I don't think you have to have it all figured out. I think that communication is what is key, you know, understanding where you are as an individual and collaborating on where you want to go collectively. Is what's really crucial. So as far as whys are concerned, I actually just wrote a post like, you know, we got into the group home business because we heard about the extreme cash flow that they generate, right? And so that was money motivated, right? But it wasn't until we got down the rabbit hole where we really started to develop the why of, okay, we can have a significant impact on bettering the lives of members of our communities. For instance, just the other day, we went on a patient visit to a potential patient's home. You know, this individual, the parent, had been to our open house and hung out with us and, you know, broke bread with us. We had food and everything and just had a good time. And This was a mother of four boys that she raised all her own, and one of her middle children has intellectual developmental disabilities. And the youngest son spent the most time with her. He's married now, moving out of the home, and he's very, very scrutinizes the environment that his brother is in, the care providers that are servicing him. And long story short, to be able to go to their home to spend time with them in their place of comfort, and for the brother to be like, you know what, I respect the work that you guys do. I've been to your facility. I see your staff. I see my brother get up and come and hold your hand and, you know, communicate a sense of comfort that he has with your group. And I appreciate that. So to have stories like that, have an impact like that, that's everything. And so that why was not something that we were initially, we initially had. But now as we go through the business and we have the impact on these families, we see that we can truly, you know, be the change. And to go a little deeper on that point, you know, there's a patient that we have whose parent has never seen them outside ever in their adult life, and to send them a picture of their son out in the, at the park in their chair, you know, seeing the birds, the blue jays, the cardinals, and all the robins that we have in our neighborhood, you know, it brought tears to her eyes, you know, and to have that effect on the lives of those who are often overlooked and underserved, it's a beautiful thing.
You're saying you don't have to have everything figured out from the second that you start?
Oh my gosh, you understand me.
I think that's fair. And I think a lot on social media, or just how we talk about things, we kind of all act a little bit, or maybe, you know, hindsight's 2020, or we're all kind of subconsciously partaking in revisionist history where we act like I knew when I bought my first house that like I was going to own 8 short-term rentals and 4 long-term rentals at some point. And like, that was not the case. And I started with single family, and then I went to small multifamily, and that's what I like. And then I started with long-term rentals, and now I have more short-term rentals. And I just think like we should not put ourselves in a box. And we also should give ourselves some grace to learn and change and grow. And I think wise absolutely can change over time. And to a lesser extent, this is not nearly as noble as your why and your business. But when I started short-term rentals, yeah, it was about the money. It was about, I can make more money doing this than I can with long-term rentals. But the amount of people that get to come through my places and have a wonderful vacation, take some downtime, do it affordably on a budget, enjoy Florida, maybe get out of some cold, and have such a great time and spend their hard-earned money and their hard-earned time in my place and really enjoy it and get a lot out of it. I've really become passionate about sharing Florida with these people and making them happy and delighting them. And it didn't start like that. It did start like, I just want to make more money than long-term rentals.
Yeah. And there's no shame to that, right? When I go to different events, you know, we talk about community building, we talk about brand building, we talk about establishing a presence, you know, what is your why is such a tremendous focus on that. And it is necessary, but like I said, it can be very cumbersome and inhibit individuals from proceeding along their path with confidence, because, you know, there's a nobility that is communicated in that why, and you don't necessarily have to have it. Like, it's okay to have money be the motivation, but it will not sustain you for the long term. You know, money is going to come, but you don't have to, like you said, have it all figured out.
So you said you have some multifamily properties. I think you said you have 6 now, but you're also doing new builds. Can you tell me why you're working on the new build space?
Yeah. So again, relationships being huge. One of our contractors here, you know, we've invested together, done multiple deals together, and he's got a solid relationship with the municipality, understands the zoning department very well. They have a need, and he's been meeting that need. And so we saw an opportunity to invest in another area because we're very, very location specific, and we like the location we're in. You know, I mean, I think half of our properties are within a mile radius of one another. We just drive around in a circle and it works for us, you know. So if it isn't broke, don't fix it. But when opportunities do come to explore other avenues of investing, you know, I think you owe it to yourself to peek your head in and see what there is. And so the price point is more affordable, you know, the price per square foot, or our ability to control cost is better. And so with the ARV still being in the 280, 300, we're talking duplexes here. So a build cost of like 130 per square foot. There's still quite a bit of room to get a good return there. And so what these properties are actually for is assisting my mother, who I love to death, to retire, you know, because she's been working this job for however long, right? And she's of a different generation where, you know, everybody in America, pull yourself up by your bootstraps is, you know, the American way, right? But there's a shift in how you do that. You know, I, as a millennial, we lean more into doing what we want, whereas she is of the age where you just do what you need, do what is necessary. And so I'm trying to shift her mindset and say, there are tools and resources available to you that can empower you to be able to do more of what you want and free yourself of the burden of this 9-to-5 that you're banging your head against your wall and hate. So these new construction projects are probably going to end up cash flowing, you know, and they're going to be long-term. So they're going to probably be anywhere from 500 to $800-900 a door. And so I'm really excited for her to start to replace her income. We have one short-term rental that's a multi-unit duplex currently, and that one already, we have one unit that's done that breaks even, covers everything. And so this other one will be a one bedroom that should probably give her about $3,000 a month cash flow. So we're getting there. We're getting there. We're making progress. I think by the end of next year, I will have her officially putting in her resignation papers, and I'm so excited.
That's amazing. I want to dive in on that. First, though, I want to ask, you said you're investing with your contractor. How did I'm intrigued by that. And how did those initial conversations go?
So we've done a couple flips together. Antoinette actually went to work for him after she was fired from her job. And this is where I think to listeners out there, you know, advocating for yourself and who you are and identifying with all that you are, as opposed to the biggest component of who you are being your 9-to-5, right? You know, I'm a referee, but in circles, wherever I go, I'm promoting myself, Josh Wilson, the investor, because I am more than just my job, you know? And when you do that, you're planting a seed, building credibility in the minds of others that you are interacting with, and those relationships over time can come to bear fruit in ways that you couldn't possibly foresee. And so she and he had actually been in college together. And prior to her getting fired, you know, she was in these different investment circles, like the local RIA or what have you. And she had been talking about the work that we had been doing. And so when it came time to make a transition, you know, he was like, hey, I actually need some help in my business. I'd love to hire you, bring you on. And so that's how they started working together. And like I said, we did a couple flips throughout that time, and good relationship, you know. As a saying, don't mix friends with business. And quite honestly, I like to throw off sayings out the window just because, you know, I'm a big proponent of seeking guidance, but not seeking advice, right? So throughout this time, we've made relationships with those that are, you know, far more established and credible in the real estate space than we are. But we were never giving ourselves enough credit because the experience that we had in short-term rentals back in, you know, 2015, 16, when Airbnb was still relatively new and it wasn't the juggernaut that it is today, you know, these multifamily investors, these builders, these people were like, oh my gosh, I want to do what you're doing. How do I get into what you're doing? And to be given that credibility from those that are more established in the space, you know what that does for your confidence? It's just like to the moon, baby. And confidence is really key to like be effective in problem solving, because this business is crazy. There's nothing but problems left and right. And you have to have confidence in yourself and your ability to overcome all those problems, right? And I just lost my train of thought, but I'm going to leave it at that.
I say this a lot. I didn't know when I bought this bed and breakfast that I'm sitting in right now, I knew that I was going to change this property. I didn't know this property was going to change me. I say that all the time because it definitely made me more confident and a more resilient person. And I think there's something to that. Like, yeah, the money is great in real estate, but also knowing that you can tackle anything. And I mean, anything that comes your way, it's really an incredible and powerful feeling. But that's okay. So that's interesting. So she had a personal relationship with this contractor from college. He hired her. And then you guys basically figured out you have some knowledge that he wants. He has some knowledge that you want. That would make a really good partnership.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, the business model that we're heavily focused on right now, the group home, the 24-hour nursing, that's an idea that we got from him because he had a sister-in-law who was operating in the business. And, you know, when it comes to real estate investing, really, it's just problem solving. And we saw a problem on the horizon with the short-term rental space. You know, when you look at the increasing regulatory burden that's not only happening here at the state level, at the city level, county level, nationally, right? Internationally, you see bans being proposed all out nationwide in different countries. And so just the disruptor space that Airbnb held is shrinking, and it's now becoming more established because you have more rules that are inhibiting and restricting the opportunity to make money, right? So our business is still doing great. We're still confident in that Airbnb will have a place in our portfolio. However, we needed to fight for ourselves and say, hey, we see the challenges on the horizon. How do we, as forward thinkers, sidestep some of these issues and grow another element that can, you know, increase the cash flow? And that was the group home business. And so relationships, we would not have known about this opportunity had we not have maintained this relationship where, you know, he had some information that we needed. We had some information that he needed. And it wasn't without challenge, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know any relationship that is without challenge. Everything requires patience, requires time, right? And requires self-awareness. One thing that we recently did in our facility with our staff was personality tests, DISC assessments. So that way the group could help to understand themselves, understand how they interacted with one another so we could have a more positive culture in our facility. So that way we can be of service to our patients and be the best version of ourselves going forward. And so I'm really confident in just, you know, our ability to achieve our goals individually and collectively, and excited for what's to come.
That's interesting. I didn't make that connection when you were first telling me about your portfolio, that it really came from this idea of Airbnb or short-term rentals becoming pretty saturated and that space really maturing. So that makes a lot of sense. Something that I've considered doing, and this comes from the experience that my brother has had, is sober living. And yeah. I know someone that's tried to do that in my area, in Pinellas County over here, and got like shot down hardcore. But just seems like, especially with like the opioid epidemic and things like that, and without these kinds of facilities, I don't think my brother would have ever gotten sober. And that would really be something that I would like to do. It's good money, but I think you could really be helping people as well. But that's where I need someone like you're talking about that has the knowledge, that has the connections with like zoning and the parking issues and which neighborhoods it could go in versus which ones are the not in my backyard people and things like that. So,
well,
that's
luckily we're having this conversation right now. One of my very, very good friends from college is actually an attorney for a commercial operation that has multiple facilities nationwide, and he is the king of cracking code in ensuring that you can operate. And I'll give you a tidbit. So long as the facility that you purchase had been zoned for overnight medical, there is not a thing any municipality can say, because they will fly in the face of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And you can go to court and you will win. So there's that little tidbit there. And I'll be sure to give you that information. But to your point of like real estate investing and how, you know, we can grow our businesses outside of just the pure property pursuit, and transition into more entrepreneurship. I think that is something that a lot of people, especially now in, you know, the market cycle that we're in with, you know, heightened interest rates and, you know, lending being restricted. Local banks aren't lending as much because of the credit crunch that's been imposed by the commercial sector, having a lot of debt come due, and just it's very restrictive, right? Before, you know, the last 5 years, you could fall out of a boat and hit water, basically, right? You could make money doing anything. Now you have to be a little more methodical and aware, and this is a great opportunity to transition to other avenues of operation that you can really have a lot of success in. And for your interest in the sober living space, because of that personal connection, I think that you can do very good things because there's a huge need. And given the problem-solving experience that you've already had as a real estate investor, you can utilize that skill set to, you know, do very well while doing well in the community.
That's something that I've noticed too, that I never really thought about when I was younger, is like my first year out of school, I was a front-end department supervisor at Toys R Us, but I did like manage people when I was 22, which was kind of cool. And then did accounting for a little while, and then I did sales for a long time, and then I've been podcasting now for 4 years. And then you have everything that I've learned from the real estate, and my husband's this engineer. And it's like when you start to put all of these skills together and also all of the connections that you're making along the way, it's really incredible how like non-linear careers are. And it's just like also the sum is so much greater than the parts too. Like each one of these individual skills, you put them together, it's worth so much more. And that's been a really exciting part of like being in my 30s, is seeing some of that come together.
Yeah, I love that for you. I'm starting to lean into that for myself. You know, my job is a very conservative one, a very low profile, a very behind the scenes one. And I had been restricting myself to just fitting that mold. And I could no longer do so because I realized that my business needed me to be more involved in utilize the other facets of myself. And that's been a growing pain that I am still working through, you know, because I don't want to jeopardize my job. I love what I do with all my heart and soul, but I'm also finding other things that I love doing, and that's okay too. And so for individuals that, you know, have a professional pursuit that they are committed to that has been great to them, you know, we're not telling you to invest in real estate because you hate your job. Like that was Antoinette's thing. She hated her job. I love my job with all my being, right? It's like a drug that I get this euphoric high from every time I get to step out on there and do on the court and do what I do. And investing in real estate has only made me all the more better because I'm secure in that if for whatever reason things don't work out in the way that I hope they do, I have explored myself in all these other areas and have these other structures that I can rely on to support my life as I've structured it.
So here's my last question for you. If you were starting over now, what would you do like in 2023 to 2024?
If I were starting over now with the knowledge and experience that I have, what type of investing would I do moving forward? I think we're doing it already, operating these group homes. I will say, so the federal government spends $7 billion a year on affordable housing. They spend $700 billion a year on Medicaid. And when you think about the real estate cycles and just the economic cycles and the contraction that we are possibly going to experience, I don't want to say Oops, sorry about that. I don't want to say recession. People have been screaming recession for the last like 3, 4, 5 years. And where is it? Nowhere to be seen. Employment numbers are still good. The economy is still, you know, trending, but there will be a contraction. And so who pays most oftentimes? Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam yep. pays his bills. Now, I don't know the way the Congress is currently structured. They're playing games a little bit too
I don't
much.
Know. We'll see how when these interest payments go up, man. I don't know. But yes, I mean, that's what they say. I mean, during the moratorium on evictions, you know who's still getting paid? Not me. Section 8 landlords are getting paid. Right?
You understand me. And so this gives us access to a larger pool of funds from the federal level. And it also gives us access to another pool of funds from private insurance. You know, we can negotiate rates with our patients' insurers. And so this is a whole new avenue of business that we had zero experience in whatsoever. I don't have a medical background. Antoinette doesn't have a medical background, but we built relationships with individuals that do so we can have success. And so I would encourage people to, you know, look into assisted living, to look into sober living, to look into veterans housing, to look into all these different ways that you can maximize the utility of whatever assets you have, be it single family or commercial properties, because there's a lot there.
And this other theme too, this other thing that you are working on, which is retiring your mom through real estate. I don't want to let that go away either. That's awesome. And there's so many ways to make money in real estate. There's so many ways to invest in real estate, and there's so many things that can come from it. I didn't want to really wrap without drawing attention to that too, because that's incredible. And I love that for you, and I love that for her.
I appreciate the kudos. You know, seeing her struggle with her time working as a paralegal, it's been the bane of my existence. And so it took these years to really develop these skills and then to lay out a roadmap and to develop the credibility with her, right? She had to watch our process and she's invested in our process throughout the years. And so now she, who is an anxious individual, coupled with the mindset that we had already talked about of doing what you need to do instead of what you want to do, that reluctance, you know, I started to break down that barrier that was there. And now she's excited and she can see a pathway forward to, you know, spending more time on the beach in Kauai or wherever it is that she wants to go because she can.
That's good. We know you like long walks on the beach. So is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
I really, really think that what I mentioned earlier about, you know, seeking counsel and not seeking advice is fundamental to everyone's journey. You know, when we started this, there were, like I said, what I would consider titans of industry. I mean, I know the VP of Lennar, largest home builder in the US. My uncle owns 40 single family rentals in Philly. And I know a guy who's got, you know, multiple properties all around the world or what have you. And these individuals, when I was speaking to them about Airbnb, they were like, oh my God, that's a joke. I'm not doing touching that with a 10-foot pole, right? And had I have listened to their inhibition or skepticism about short-term rentals, I would have missed the gravy train because boy, was it a big one over the past 2 years, right? And so I want to say to people, don't let the respect you have for others outweigh and outshine the respect you have for yourself. You have to self-evaluate, self-assess, and understand your journey and what you're capable of, what your network can provide, and what you can do to really make your dreams come true. So don't put people on a pedestal, you know, honor and respect yourself and who you are because, you know, you can do it.
Can you let people know how to get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can reach out to us on Instagram, on YouTube, at Fearless and Free Fi, Fearless and Free Fi. We have a YouTube show we just dropped chronicling our group home process. A lot of good things in there. And then we also have our website, fearlessandfreefi.com.
Guys, you can follow me on Twitter /X @adultingiseasy or Instagram @adultingiseasyreal. This will be on YouTube at Adulting is Easy. If you like this episode, you may also like episode 132, where a fellow Floridian of ours is using real estate to retire. And then episode 128 about managing your rental properties from abroad. Thanks again for listening, everybody. Hopefully, Josh and I have made adulting a little easier for you.